Amen. Thank God. Well, we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith for a long time, and we're on step number seven now. And it's know the authority in the name of Jesus. Know the authority in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Philippians and start there. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 9. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Let's read verse 8 too. Actually, let's read verse 5 and go into that. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God. And we've talked about that before, but that phrase, sometimes it's a little bit unclear to us here, and I don't have it in another translation here, but it says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery or something to be grasped to be equal with God. In other words, he was in the form of God, but he didn't consider it something to hold on to. Like, can you pass me your Bible? So now, like, try to take it from me. So if I'm doing this, pull it. If I'm holding on to like that, that's what that's saying. It's like trying to hold on to it. So Jesus, if the Bible represents him being in the form of God or having the power of God and walking in the fullness of God on the earth, he didn't hold on to it like this. He didn't say no, I want that. No. He let it go and said, I'll take the form of a man. That's what that means there. It's saying he did. Let's read it again. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be held on to be equal. The margin of my Bible says, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he didn't grasp it. He didn't hold on to it and said, no, I'm going to stay. I can't possibly take the form of a human. I'm going to stay. I'm God, and I won't take that form. He didn't do that. And he's saying, let this mind be in us. What kind of mind is that? Humble. Sometimes people say, well, I won't do that. That's beneath me. Well, you think it was beneath Jesus? I mean, evidently it wasn't. But if you just want to talk about relative, comparison here, Jesus is the God of all creation. He is the most powerful being, the wisest being in the universe. And then he's going to come and look like you and me. And we're created. I mean, I don't think we, even talking about it, really can grasp that. I don't care who you are in the face of the earth, you becoming, like, let's say, like somebody else that's in a lower status is just not even in the same category whatsoever. You becoming like any other, something else on the earth, I don't think is in the same category, because you're talking about the pinnacle of the universe. Now, we are created in his image and likeness, a human being was, and your born again spirit is recreated just in his image. But he came as a human, as a created being, and said, I'm going to identify with them. And so that's the heart we're supposed to have. And this is related to where we're going. When we're talking about the name of Jesus, you don't use the name of Jesus in a haughty fashion. Some people do that because they don't understand, really. So they think it's, well, I know something, so I'm going to, you know. Now, bold is different than cocky, than haughty. I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's a difference. Jesus is not cocky. He's absolutely bold. You can see that when he was on the earth, right? Yeah. Right in the middle of the religious people, he would just speak right into their face. He was not scared. Jesus was not fearful, ever. But he also was kind and gentle. He was not cocky or arrogant, ever. But you can be bold without being arrogant. And so this is talking about, and this is related, because we're supposed to have his heart. These things go together. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Now notice this. People talk about being humbled or somebody humbling somebody else. You're supposed to humble yourself. And that's really the only true humility. You're not humbled. You can be shamed. Somebody can try to shame you, but they can't humble you. You could be shamed on the outward and be totally proven to be in the wrong and not be humbled whatsoever. And then you could just be as rebellious or arrogant as you ever were. Even though on the outward, things aren't going well or things don't look well, you could just still be in pride and act like nothing's going wrong. You guys ever seen anybody do this, or maybe you've done it? You know you messed up. You know you're wrong. You know it's not looking good, but you're going to act like nothing's happening. You have to humble yourself. Nobody can humble you. Humility is a state of the heart. You can humble yourself, just like Jesus. It says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And notice this, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to save us because it was the Father's plan. You know, over there in the Gospels, it says when Jesus was praying and he was sweating drops of blood, he said, not my will, but yours be done. Not mine. Do you think it was pressing on him, on his flesh, to go to the cross? If you don't, you're confused. Well, he was Jesus. Yeah, he was Jesus, walking in the form of a man. He had flesh like you. Do you realize, I mean, if you were going to die tomorrow, and you know it, and you know how you're going to die, you're going to be beaten beyond recognition. You're going to be mocked by people that are your creation, that in a moment of time you could call angels to your aid, but you're going to walk through it and you're not going to do that. You're going to take it from evil, wicked people, spitting on you, putting thorns into your head, calling you names, mocking you, even though you're the highest being in the universe. And as a man, now think, see, he's God, but he's walking as a man. He has emotions. He has flesh. He understands that his hands are going to be pierced through. He understands that there's going to be very little flesh on his back when he gets done, and probably his face and most of his body. He's going to be ripped apart. He knows this is coming. You think his flesh is jumping up and down?
No.
His flesh is saying, I don't want to do that. And we're going to do it. What are we getting out of it? He's not doing it for him. He's doing it for you. And yeah, he received us back. It says for the joy set before him. But I guarantee his flesh is not jumping up and down to do this and lay down and go through this torture for us. He has flesh. I mean, it's not like ours. It's not tainted. He wasn't touched by sin. But it's not God. It's man. He was 100% God and 100% man. You say, how? The Bible says so. You don't need to know how. He was. He identified with us, for us, and he humbled himself and became obedient, we just read. He became obedient to what? The will of the Father. God said, this is the way we are going to redeem mankind, and Jesus was going to come, and he was going to be obedient to the will of God Almighty. Now, we're not off the subject. We are talking about the name of Jesus. For you to understand what that name means and what has to happen when you use that name, you don't throw it around like some magic wand. You need to understand authority. You need to understand that Jesus was under authority and Jesus obeyed and Jesus humbled himself. And this, when you use the name of Jesus, if you understand some of these things, you'll understand that it's not a question. It's not a question whether somebody has to obey the name of Jesus or not. Demons, evil spirits, they have no choice. Because of what we're reading right here. Because of what he did right here. There is no option. But see, people, you can't yield to the devil on one hand and then use the name of Jesus and expect the devil then to obey you on the other hand. Obedience and authority and this humility, it all goes together. So, but if we understand what Jesus did and what we're understanding here, I believe the Holy Spirit is having us lay some of this groundwork. You could jump right in and say, we have the name of Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And people go off half-cocked and try to use it, and they don't understand what's behind it and what that name is, and they use it, in a wrong heart. They're not understanding, and then they come back and say it doesn't work. That's not possible. The name of Jesus and the Word of God always, always, always works. But we need, there are things in life where there's different areas. You could use different examples here. But, some people with computers in certain areas, they'll come back and say, well, this thing isn't working. This program isn't doing the right thing. And, you have a little investigation and you realize It's not that the program's doing the wrong thing, it's that you did the wrong thing with the program. You do this, it does this. The program's not intelligent. It does what it's told to do always. Now, the designers could have messed up. Yes, I mean, this is my field. I understand this. Yeah, and that's called a bug. Becky understands it too because she used to be a tester. But yeah, you find something that's wrong, it could do the wrong thing. And so then that's a flaw in the design. And you do something that should work or should be right behavior, and it does the wrong thing. Yes, that's a defect. But especially with things that have been out there for a long time and you're doing just a vanilla, normal thing, people say, well, this just doesn't work, or, you know, I'm getting the wrong results. So many times, it's not that the program suddenly decided to stop working. You're not in this corner case that the testers missed. It's this, you don't understand how to use it. So you come back and say, well, it doesn't work. And then somebody can follow you right away and say, well, no, you're doing this and this and this wrong. It actually is working. You're doing the wrong thing with it. You couldn't say it didn't work, but people get adamant. You ever read some of the stories about customer service? It's humorous. There's sites that have this, you know, that have both sides of, you know, somebody has called in, say, in the circles they go around. I have a person that that I know that used to work at a certain company, and he took calls for software related stuff, and sometimes he starts talking about those things, you know, and he's not talking in a real positive light when he's talking about some of the calls he gets and the stuff they tell him. It's humorous. This one guy had, you know, he was trying to do something with his computer and he had it unplugged, or he just unplugged it while he was talking to him. It's like, now I don't see anything. And you know, the guy didn't have it plugged in or anything. And I mean, it's just these things that the stories he has. Well, those people, they can get real adamant that it doesn't work. This thing does not work. It's working incorrectly. But all it takes is somebody to come in there that knows what's going on and say, well, you don't have it plugged in. Or you're pushing this wrong button. You're supposed to do this. And you see a lot of this in the body of Christ. They get a little bit of something. They hear something. And they think they have a model, a mental model of how it ought to work. You realize that's part of the problem of when you're using a software design or something. If you can formulate a way you think it ought to work. And so then you try to work it like that, and when it doesn't work according to the mental picture you have, you think it doesn't work. But actually, it's possible your mental picture is wrong. And if once you see somebody else, you go, oh, I was doing it wrong. Well, there's so much of this in the body of Christ where people go off, they get a little bit of the word or they say some scripture, they don't balance it with the whole counsel of the word of God. They see it and they think this works in a vacuum. The way I see this in this scripture, I understand it a certain way, and so I develop a picture of the way I believe it ought to work. Do you know how you develop a true mental model of how the word works? You use other scriptures to build it. You have to balance it by all of scripture. That's the only way you can come to a true picture of an understanding of the word of God. And it's not just mental, it's spiritual, but I'm using an illustration. When you're dealing with software and tools and whatever, it's mental. But when you're dealing with understanding of the word, you're getting it in your heart. It's going to go through your brain, but you're getting it in your heart. And so many people read certain scriptures, they take them out of context, they don't understand other parts of the word, and they say, this ought to work. Why isn't it working? And they want an answer from you. They want an answer from somebody that they believe ought to answer them. Well, I tried that. It doesn't work. Why? Indignantly, as if there's something broken. I could not possibly misunderstand everything. This is the way it ought to work. Why doesn't it work? Mad. People can get mad about it. Mad at who? They're mad at God. It doesn't work. I tried this. I used this. I tried to believe God, and nothing happened. What are they implying? It's broken. Doesn't work. It's supposed to work like this. Look, and they'll read you scripture, and they'll say, right here it says, and they'll read it, but it's just like the people calling in with the software. It ought to work like this. And they're adamant, and they're mad, and they can be rude and condescending. And they're the ones that don't have the power plugged in. But they're going to tell you, this is messed up. And you better fix it because you're wrong. Your doctrine doesn't work. That teaching doesn't work. I'm throwing it all out. Anybody ever heard any of this? Maybe we've experienced some of it. I'm not saying it's all somebody else. We've walked through this. The devil will help you with this and say, well, it doesn't work. And he knows, he can see 15 of your blind spots, and he knows you're ignorant. That doesn't stop him from, pricking you and say, yeah, it doesn't work, does it? And he can see exactly where you're missing it. He knows you don't see this and this and this, but he'll try to pump you up and pry and say, why doesn't that work? I mean, if God's true to his word, you said that, you used the name of Jesus, why didn't that go? It's God's fault. It's God's fault. It doesn't work. The word of God must not work. Or that preacher that said that, he's wrong. That doesn't work. We don't have the name of Jesus today. That's not for today. No, we got to take the whole counsel of God. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 8, it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, what's the next word in my Bible? Therefore. Like somebody said, when you see therefore, you ought to stop and see what it's there for. That means look at the, that's why we did that. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. See, he became obedient when his flesh didn't want to do it. When he did it because God, it was in God's great God the Father's great plan of redemption, he came, he humbled himself to the point of death. He had a humble heart. And so therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. This is a big deal. I mean, didn't really... humility is a big deal. With God, in your life, if you will let the Word of God be the authority in your life and humble yourself to that Word and to the authority in that Word, you are setting yourself up then for things to work as they ought to work in the kingdom of God, in the world, concerning authority. We are sometimes like, if you're not going to submit and humble yourselves to be obedient, humble yourself to be obedient to certain laws or certain regulations, but then turn around and expect other people to, That's not going to work. I mean, people will watch you. If somebody sees you do that, like in an organization, let's say that there are certain rules and you're not going to obey them, but you want to enforce everybody else to obey them, people, if they find out about that, are they going to listen to you? They're not going to listen to you. They'll be like, what are you talking about? I just saw you. You did that. You going to tell me to do it? You know, if you're an authority over somebody, if you're a manager, but you're not going to listen to people above you, but then you expect everybody under you to listen to them, that's the way people are a lot of times. Well, everybody better listen to me, but, you know, this guy, I don't want to listen to him. Well, if you know, people seeing you do that, they're not going to listen to you. Well, it's the same spiritually. If we're not going to, now I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about legalism in the sense that Jesus came so that we couldn't save ourselves, and we're not going to walk a perfect life. So you can't get into legalism about this. But if you're going to harden your heart towards certain things and say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to obey that. God wants me to do this, or I see this plainly in the Word, but I won't do it. You're not on solid ground to take authority over the devil. Because if you're not submitting and obeying and humbling yourself with what God has said, you're resisting, who are you yielding to? You're not yielding to God. You're resisting His word. You're not doing what you're not. You're saying, I see that, but I'm not going to do it. If you know it's in the written word, or it's something He has firmly told you to do by your spirit, if you see it in the word, and there it is in black and white, and it says such and such, and you say, I don't care, I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. Now, how can you go to any part of the word and quote the scripture and say, it's written, and expect what is written to happen? So I'm going to go through it again. Not because I think you're slow, because it needs to register here. Okay? If you see and know, you're not accountable for what you don't know. You are accountable for what you do know and what you see, and only God can judge. God knows what you see and what you don't see. He knows what light you have. And you are accountable for not just what you've heard audibly, because you can hear something audibly and not hear it. We see this. My pastor used to say this, Pastor Gill. He used to see how he would see people. You know, you would preach it, and you would preach something, and you would preach something, and you preach something, and somebody, they're still doing the same. They don't get it. And you preach it again, they don't get it. And then somebody will come in like a guest speaker, and they'll preach on the exact same thing, or they'll hear a recording on somebody, and somebody will preach it, and they'll come and say, I heard this man preach. That was the best ever. Did you hear what he said? And they'll quote back exactly what Pastor Gill has preached 10 times since you've been going to the church. And yet, now you see it. Well, he would say, that's the way it is. So he was just saying, it's just, he said you have to just kind of stand there and be like, glory to God. Because that, and that's the way we all are. We all are like that. You know, God's been trying to get through to all of us for years on certain things, and he'll just bring it right in front of you. Nope, they didn't get it. And he'll just bring it right back in front of you, and then he'll just bring it right back real slow this time. Nope, they didn't get it. All right, Michael, make sure that happens again. Bring it right back, right under their nose. Ooh, look at that. We got a bite. Nope, it's just a nibble. We go around again, bring it in front of them, and boom, the light goes on. They see it. We see it. Now, it's a new earth. It's a new life. I see that. I've never seen this before. Keith Moore, he told this story. I heard him tell this story. Keith Moore, he was, when he first went to Rhema, at the beginning, he went to Rhema, and then he started helping out in healing school there at Rhema when Brother Hagin was starting it out. And he was there every day and helping out in all this. And for years, then he took over healing school and taught. And so years later, he was watching some old, he had the recordings of these things, and he was watching Brother Hagin in healing school. And he was listening to him, he was like, glory to God, this is good. I've never seen this before. And he's like, he goes, man, I must have been gone that day or something. And then he said the camera panned onto the front row, and there he was, sitting there listening, probably taking notes. And he said, glory to God. He had heard it all those years before. But right now, it was just like, I see it. I see it. So, yeah, we're going to get stuff over time. We're going to see stuff over time. And so that's okay that we don't get everything just right away. How did I get off on all that? That's what we were saying. We were seeing. So if you see something in the Word, and God knows what you see, that's where we were. God knows what lights you have, and only God knows that. That's why you should never judge somebody. Don't ever say, well, don't they know that by now? Be real careful, because, again, somebody could be looking at you, and if they knew all the behind the scenes, they would see that for years. The Lord is trying to get you to see certain things. So you don't know what people see and what they don't see and where they've come from and what they're getting rid of. We just need to sow mercy and love. Don't sow judgment and being critical and fault-finding. Sow mercy and love. And just realize, you know, if somebody has a heart after God, God's working with them just like He's working with you. He's working with me. So God knows what you know. So you're not accountable for what you don't know, but you are accountable for what you do see. And if you see something, and you can see it, and you see that is what I ought to do, I can see it in black and white. There's where it sees it. I'm not just saying you can read it. You see it. And that's where we said it's not just that you've heard it audibly. You can hear something audibly, but you didn't hear it. But if you've heard it and you see, then you become accountable for it. And only the Lord can judge. But when you become accountable for it, you need to act on the Word. Just like Jesus acted on what He was to do. Even though it didn't feel good, it wasn't what He wanted to do, yet He acted on what He knew. And when you try to go and say, I can see this, I know it, but I'm not going to act on it. Now, if you go and try and say, but I'm going to believe this part of the Word because it's a promise of God to me and it's the Word of God and it has to work, it's no different than the part of the Word that you just dismissed. And you just said, I won't do that. What are you saying? That's not true in my life. But on the other hand, this part of the Word is true of my life. That's not where we want to be. And all it takes, I didn't say it was easy, but it is simple, is yielding yourself to God and saying, not my will, but your will be done, and I will be obedient. I will do what you told me to do. Just like Jesus, you say, I am going to do the will of the Father. I see this. I know this is what I ought to do, so I'm going to do it. When you have that attitude, that humility, that submission, you understand this order of authority. And when then you know, which is where we're going, and I believe we've laid another brick in our foundation tonight, that when you go to use the name of Jesus, You know that you are under solid, you are on solid ground under the authority of Almighty God. You have submitted yourself under that authority. And now when you speak the word, it is with authority that you know this has to happen because God said it. I am walking in the light. I have submitted myself to the God of the universe, and this word rules the universe. And if the word of God says this, this has to come to pass. Amen. You're in a solid place.